us pray.
Yes, O Lord, we've come here today to worship, to remember, and to request that you bless all of us, and especially this weekend, God bless America. So be with us as we attempt to worship you in spirit and in truth, and always be with our nation and our nation's leaders, indeed, the leaders of the world nations. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Now in our liturgy comes the invitation to the Lord's table. And I always like to remind us that this is the Lord's table. It is not a United Methodist table. And regardless of denomination, everyone is invited to the Lord's table. So you're welcome, regardless of where your church membership is. So hear now this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, We confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. At this time, I invite the boys and girls to come forward. I would like to talk with you about our flags. Would you come? We'll meet right here. Good morning, young people. I'm delighted to see you. Let's walk over here. I want to show you something. Do you notice this flag? It is here standing. And I'm sure you know whose flag that is, don't you? How many stripes are they? 13. Why are there 13 stripes? 13 original colonies broke away from England on July the 4th, 1776. So that's how we have 13 stripes. We're remembering the original 13. Now, look up there. A field of blue, and we've got white stars. How many stars do you all think are up there? 50. Not 49 or 51, but 50. Why 50? 50 states. That's exactly right. Now today, we're remembering this flag because it's very important. This is the flag of our country. But you know what? The church has a flag too. And that's over here. Walk over here with me. Did you notice that flag? You have Christian churches in other countries besides America. We do realize that, right? And here is the Christian flag. It has the same colors as the American flag in it. But look, it's white. White stands for purity. The church is to be white, pure white. We always are trying to be better and better and better people. That's why we're here. We talk about what we need to change to glorify God. But look, there's blue there too. Blue has a lot of symbols besides being my favorite color. Blue has to do with faithfulness. And red, what is that up there that's red? It's a cross. And it's red because red is a symbol of fire. Fire, red, Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit of Jesus is what runs the Christian church. So yes, we are a member of the United States of America, but we are also members of the Church of Jesus Christ. This flag can be found all over the world, regardless of the country. So when you see these two emblems, appreciate our country by all means, but appreciate the church, for this is our Christian flag, reminding us we're to be pure, we're to be faithful, and we are to receive the Spirit of Jesus. Let us pray. Thank you, O Lord, for flags, for they symbolize so much more than just the cloth and the staff which supports them. Bless us all and let us appreciate from where we come. And lead us always to the kingdom of God, which moves beyond any country, any church, all the way to heaven. Bless us and keep us on our journey. Amen. And thank you all for coming. Time in our worship where we pause for prayers. You see a number of prayer concerns. Joe Bell was at the phone this morning, and Glenn Long telephoned. Joe Bell said his voice was very strong. He is at home, and he said he would like to come today, but it's raining. So she invited him to come next week. Hopefully he'll be strong enough, and hopefully it won't be raining. So we are delighted. Let's please keep Glenn in all of our prayers. And let's also remember, drop him a note every now and then. He often asks how you are doing. So if you don't really feel as if you can, drop by to see him. He would welcome people to come. Just don't stay too long. He's very weak. But drop him a card. That would delight him. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessings upon us, his presence with us. Let us pray. How beautiful upon the mountain, O Lord, are the feet of those who bring the good tidings of joy and salvation. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for today. We give you thanks for this, the Lord's Day, where we have a chance to remember that it was on the first day of the week that you raised your Son, our Savior, from the grave. And so each week we remember Easter, and because of this new life, we have opportunities every day to go and to affirm that you have forgiven us our trespasses, our sins, and our broken community. That each day after we confess our sins, you set us right before you, and we are new creatures forever and ever. So let us always remember to be honest with each other. Let us confess the sins that we have committed and receive the Holy Spirit of blessedness. Now, Lord, even as we praise your name, we want to give thanks for our country. Imperfect as it is, we ask you to bless it. Bless all of us that we can appreciate the opportunities we have that few citizens of any other country have. So let us make what is still imperfect, perfect in your sight. Hear our confession, O Lord. We confess to you that we've been very self-righteous. At times, we point the finger at other people and we assign responsibility and blame, all the while forgetting that as we point our index finger at others, we have three more fingers pointing at ourselves. So bless us, help us to become more humble as we relate with you and each other. Forgive us, we beseech you, and save us at last. Our prayers of intercession, we pray for the sick, we pray for our prayer list, we certainly pray for those who do not have a saving knowledge of Jesus. Continue to let all of us be your messenger, that people can look to us and be able to see the risen Lord through our words and our actions. These things we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
United as one.
Our scripture lesson for today is Psalm number 48 in its entirety. So let us hear the word of the Lord, Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. His holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king. Within its citadels, God has shown himself a sure defense. Then the kings assembled. They came on together. As soon as they saw it, they were astounded. They were in panic. They took to flight. Trembling took hold of them there. Pains as of a woman in labor, as when an east wind shatters the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, which God establishes forever. We ponder your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your people. Your name, O God, like your praise, reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with victory. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the towns of Judah rejoice because of your judgment. Walk about Zion. Go all around it. Count its towers. Consider well its ramparts. Go through its citadels that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will be our guide forever. Amen. And here ends this reading from God's most holy word. Will it stand?
Thank you.
Let us bow in prayer. O Lord, be present with us during the preaching and the hearing of this sermon, and may your word for our day and the times in which we live be heard among these words and our reflections. Amen. My friends, it's great to be back in the pulpit today. I had a very nice vacation, both of us did. We rested. Does anybody else like vacations like that? We didn't spend overly amounts of money. We had a good time doing what we needed to do. But it's good to get back. It's very good to get back. And I'm also just tickled to hear that last Sunday, Scott Mason did such a fine job here preaching. I think we better employ him as our associate pastor, don't you think? But I think he's got another full-time job, so probably that won't work. It's always good to turn things over to Scott from the pulpit point of view. He's a good person, a good United Methodist layperson, knows how to handle responsibility beautifully, and we are very proud of him and delighted to have him with us from time to time. But today we find ourselves right in the middle of our Independence Day celebration. Yes, it poured rain, but there's a blessing to that. Think about this. How many people were discouraged because it was raining? Well, that meant there were fewer people on the highway, which meant more people got to live because they didn't get in wrecks. That's the other way to look at it, isn't it? But we still have to watch our uncalled-for swimming pools, as Tommy said. And I can walk across the yard, and my feet squish up under me because of the water just standing there. But these are blessings, and we are to thank God for everything. And that includes a lot of rain all at once. But all that being said, I hope that you're having a great holiday weekend. Our family came together, my siblings and spouses, I should say, niece and nephew, and we did very well. We did eat too much, and we're going to be repenting for a good while, based upon the caloric values that we wolfed down. But much has happened since last we saw each other in this context. Much has happened that causes us to roil our souls and have questions that arise. What about the definition of marriage? What about health care? Is it a privilege or a right? And there are new voices in the presidential race. Guaranteed that this year will be quite a race filled with interesting comments. It's also, for us United Methodists, the beginning of a brand new conference year. So new pastors have gone to their new churches, and I'm your new pastor. And I'm delighted to be here. Not that there was a question. We are delighted that we came last year at this time. And I've taken it very slow and very easy because I really want to get to know you. Not just to know you, but to know how you think, to know what your values are. And I've had a good time. I didn't get to visit all of you as I had planned. For some reason, this old body has been creaking and breaking and snapping and groaning. And so I've had a share of not feeling well, if you get it. But right now, I'm coming right along. So we do what we can. Last week's reunion in Middle Tennessee was really very nice. I saw all those old people there. And we probably ought to meet every 6 months. That way we won't look like we're getting older all of a sudden. But in all seriousness, some of us old people are concerned that the younger people aren't coming, which means that all of the lore of my dad's family, 10 brothers and sisters, that's going to be forgotten. We had a good time remembering back when. So we're taking steps to add different things to the reunion next year. We'll see what happens. It's good for families to get together for many reasons. Because if we don't remember our past, we may be condemned in the future to make some of the same mistakes. So that's a very important reason for getting together. In the midst of all of our cultural change, which we've seen interpreted by the Supreme Court, interpreted by a celebration such as the 4th of July, and all that that means, I was thinking about what to say today that will affirm. Sometimes we can talk and be all stirred up. That's what the word roil means. We're roiled up, R-O-I-L. We just get upset. Things aren't the same as they used to be. Well, is anything the same as it used to be? Let's think about that. Well, the scripture I've chosen is Psalm 48. And it starts out in a way that we need to remember always. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Now, the city of our God is Mount Zion for the psalmist, Jerusalem. That for them was the center of the world. And to this day, three great world religions call Jerusalem the holy city. Islamic people do. Before them, Jewish people do. Before them, Christian people called it the holy city. Right where the temple was built, there is a mosque commemorating, for example, the leaping of Muhammad and his horse from the rock of Mount Zion into heaven. That's what they believe. That's why it's important for them. For Jews, it's where Abraham and Isaac went to sacrifice Isaac. But the angel of the Lord says, don't go there. There's a ram prepared for you. Don't kill your son. And of course, Jerusalem is Jesus' holy city. That's where he did his pastoral work. That's where he went into the temple and cleansed it. From there, he was tried, convicted, and outside the city, crucified and buried. From Jerusalem, he began his trek of witnessing to the faithful, I'm alive. So with all of this, we reflect on the first verse of Psalm 48, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Well, friends, we don't live in Israel. And by the time St. Augustine came along, he was reflecting on what it meant by the city of God. And this is what he found out. There is a citizenship which is over and above the citizenship of that country or any other country. Our country needs all the blessing it can get for obvious reasons. But we who profess Jesus belong to the city of God. This means there is a spiritual connection between and among all who profess faith in Jesus Christ. Hence, that flag. We are members of that country. It is a spiritual dimension. It is this dimension that hooks us together with love. And that is exactly why it is so important today, this weekend, following the gigantic decisions by the Supreme Court, why it is important to remind us just who we are. It's easy to get into a discussion. Went to that reunion. They all know I'm clergy. And I was immediately confronted by my cousins. Well, are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? And I had to say, all right. this is what I will do and this is what I won't do. So they forced me to talk about it. And I was glad to. I have reasons. So we have reasons, but never was I threatened to be drummed out of the family because I may or may not have agreed with what they think. That's the point. We, as members of that country, are to disagree in love. Now, let's remember a certain passage. I'll reiterate it by reading it again. We ponder your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. Your name, O God, like your praise, reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with victory. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the towns of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Now, friends, there's so much more at stake here than health care, marriage, or whatever. So much more at stake because the church, yes, it is in that country. The church, yes, we are to sing the praises of our heritage, no question about it. But the church has been around many more millennia than that flag and our country. The church has withstood attack after attack after attack from almost any direction imaginable. The church is still here. What holds us together? God's love. So when we think about working with people around concerned about issues, let's remember who we are. If we think we have to defend God in all of this, if we think there are people encroaching upon what God wants, and it's going to be up to us to hold the line, if that's what we think, then we're worshiping an idol. God does not need us to hold the line. He's fully capable of taking care of things. And if you don't believe me, read the Old Testament. Read the prophets. The Sunday school class at Parker did such a good job of teaching today, dealt with what God told the prophets to tell his people. And guess what? They ain't paying attention. So God was fully able to take care of what God wants. Now, I'm very serious. If we think the last bastion of Christianity is our faith, our understanding of faith, then we're worshiping an idol because your God's too small. God judges nations. God will hold us under judgment. God will take care of you and me and this country and every other country if we do not hold fast to the love of Jesus. So our question needs to be, as we come to the Lord's table, as we share in his sacrificial gift to all of us as a reminder, our questions need to be, how do we in our time remain faithful to the one who calls us to be a citizen of that country, the city of God? I don't know how much of a fan you are of Facebook. I can tell you Facebook takes all kinds of time. Anybody want to say amen to that? Yeah. You can get tied up on Facebook. You can even miss your meal because you just are so fascinated. I found there on Facebook over this past month, especially since the Supreme Court decisions came down, 6 ways how the church lost this week. 6 ways. And I thought about reading them off to you because It's true, the points that are making. But I think I'll turn them around. Because people don't like to be held up, have shortcomings to be held up, to be pointed to, here's where we are, but this is where you should be. Nobody likes that. So let's reverse the negative and let's turn them into positives. For these are opportunities for citizens of that country. Yes, living in this one, but citizens of that one too. We in God's church have a chance to be loving. We have a chance to be good neighbors. Think of that. We have a chance to be a good Samaritan. We have a chance to show by witnessing with our own lives just how big God is. That he doesn't need to be defended. Otherwise, he wouldn't be God. We have a chance in these times that are, shall we say, shaking the foundations of the culture. We have a chance to reflect Christ. Are we doing that? Or are we getting bent out of shape and saying this ought to be different and so on? And we have a chance to find people who need and want to share the power of a community based upon the love of Christ as seen through the sacrament and through our normal conversation, through our open spirit, through our ability to love people even though we may disagree with them. May God bless us. And in this way, we make civil religion sacred. In this way, those beautiful hymns, and the music so lovely that these musicians produce for us today, in this way, it's more than just veneer. It is love of country down deep, because Americans are different. Americans come from different directions. Americans come in all colors. Americans come in all nationalities. I have found it interesting over the years, since my ancestors are English, to raise the question, what country has produced more immigrants than any other? I'll give you a test. How many of you think it's England? Raise your hands. Think most immigrants came from England? How many think it's Germany? It is Germany. Isn't that amazing? But you know, I like to find humor in everything. Some of the folks really jump up and down about the Latinos coming into this country. All of that political stuff. But being trained in history, I think backwards. Most of the Latinos coming are not really Mexicans or Guatemalan or Nicaraguan. They are Indians. Indigenous people of that part of the country. Not Castilian Mexicans, which came from Spain. They're Indians. So look at what we're witnessing. The white man with disease and guns exterminated the Indians in America and took their place. And yet in our day, the Indians are coming back. And how are we going to deal with them? People who live in the city of God will love them. That's paramount. And in so doing, we make sacred the civil issues of our day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please remember that as you come about the altar rail, please bring your tithes and offerings and leave them in the little slots there just on the other side of the rail. In this way, when we come and receive grace from God, we give God back money that he's let us earn. As I also mentioned, I'd like to repeat, everyone is invited to come. You don't have to be a Methodist. You do have to be a Christian. So every Christian is welcome, for this is the Lord's table, not a Methodist table. The way we will do this, again, please come down the center aisle, kneel. Those of us administering the elements will be already located on the far side of the aisle. As you kneel, we'll be coming in this direction. Stay as long as you wish here at the altar rail. I think God likes to see us on our knees. So come and pray. And then when you've finished your prayers and receiving the sacrament, go back to your seats by the outer aisles. And then let others take your place as you leave. So let us continue with the sacrament as we turn in our hymnal and on the screen to the prayer of great thanksgiving, which is on page 13. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts, in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Let those who be assisting with communion, would you come?